So let's review. Our Gemara continued discussing the Yud Ches Dvarim, the 18 decrees passed by Beis Shammai. The Gemara asks, V'idach Mahi. Up to now, we learned about 10 of those decrees. What are the others? The Gemara presents number 11 by quoting from a Mishnah which says, Kol metaltlin mevines atuma bo'ivei hamardeya. If a movable object such as a goad or a thick broomstick, which has a circumference of a tefach, one hand breadth, is carried over a mess, a dead body, it conveys tuma onto the person carrying it through tumas oil. In other words, the person carrying the goad becomes an ava tuma. The Gemara explains that min ha-Torah, any object, no matter its size or thickness, which was carried over a dead body, becomes an ava tuma through tumas oil, since the object was ma'ahel, or created a roof over the dead body. The person holding the object then becomes a reach-in l'tuma, since he is touching the av ha-tuma object. However, the Rabbanu are concerned that one might make a mistake and believe that he became tummy through tumas oil, since he knows the object he was holding had a circumference of a tefach, and yet he is only declared to be tummy for one day as a rishon l'tumah, not to imagine 7 days. This might then lead him to believe that any oil will cause only a rishon level of tumah. Therefore, in order to avoid this confusion, Beis Shammai decreed that the person carrying a goad becomes tummy to the level of an avatum. The Gemara then discusses the 12th decree and presents a Mishnah which says, Haboitzu l'gas shamei omer huchshe. When you are harvesting grapes, some juice from the grapes spills onto the grapes. It is machshir l'kabel tumah, which means that the grapes can now become tumah. The Gemara gives a few reasons for this decree. One of them is, gzeres shemei yivtzirena b'kupes mizufafes. Sometimes people gather grapes in baskets lined with pitch, which makes it waterproof. They do this because they're collecting the grapes to make wine, to make sure they don't lose any of the juice. Now, in such a case, they're obviously happy when the juice comes out, which means that when the juice wets the grape, it is a hechsher. In order to avoid confusion that could come up if sometimes the juice is a hechsher and sometimes it's not, the Beis Shammai decreed that no matter what kind of basket you use to collect the grapes, any juice that comes out is a hechsher. Another reason is because now, sometimes a person goes out to his field to see if his grapes are ready to be harvested. And he squeezes some grapes to see how ripe they are, which squeezes out some juice onto the other grapes. Now, since he did it intentionally, that's a hechsher. Here too, in order to avoid confusion, Beis Shammai said that anytime juice gets on the grapes, it is a hechsher. The Gemara then discusses the 13th decree. Af gedulei truma truma. According to the Torah, if you plant food which is truma, whatever grows from that planting is chulin and can be eaten by anyone. But Beis Shammai decreed that whatever grows still has the status of truma. They did this because the kahanim who owned truma, which was tameh, couldn't eat it. But they knew that if they replanted it, whatever grew wouldn't be truma, so they could eat that. So they used to keep it until the growing season so that they could replant it and eat whatever grew. But since they kept it so long, some of them forgot and actually ate the truma tameh. In order to avoid this, Beis Shammai said replanting it won't help, because whatever grows will still be tamei. The Gemara then goes on to discuss the 14th decree. The Mishnah says, Mi shehechshech lebaderech noisi kis lanachri. If one is traveling on Friday afternoon and becomes Shabbos before he reaches destination, he can give his wallet to a non-Jew to carry it for him. Now, ordinarily, you can't ask a non-Jew to carry for you on Shabbos. But the Beis Shammai will worry that in this case, the Jew wouldn't leave his wallet and would carry it on Shabbos. To avoid this, they allowed him to ask the non-Jew to carry it for him. Next, the Gemara discusses the 15th decree. The Gemara explains that that decree was really a series of decrees against Pitan, Vishamnon, Vyenin, Ubnaisehin, the bread, the oil, the wine, and the daughters of the non-Jews. The Rabban forbade a Jew to eat bread or oil of a non-Jew, drink or have benefit from wine of a non-Jew, and to have yichud, which means to be alone with a non-Jewish woman. The Gemara explains that these decrees are all related, and that's why they're all counted as one. The Rabban wanted to ensure that there was no chance that a Jew would have a forbidden relationship with a non-Jewish woman. So they said it's usur to even be alone with them. But they were worried that if we socialize too much with them, it could lead to a forbidden relationship. Therefore, they forbade drinking wine with them. Now, they also forbade to even eat from their bread to ensure that we wouldn't even eat with them socially. Now, up to this point, we counted 15 decrees. An additional 2 decrees are from our Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph. We will learn that you may not take lice off your clothes on Shabbos by candlelight, and another is that you may not read on Shabbos by candlelight, which gives us a total of 17 decrees. With regards to the 18th decree, there are several opinions. One of them is, as we learned earlier, that all girls from the group known as Kutim, even the very young girls, must be considered to be nidus. Towards the end of the daf, we began learning the next Mishnah, which talks about whether it's permitted to begin doing a melacha d'oraisa before Shabbos, which will become completed later on during Shabbos. The Mishnah begins. B'shamay ayim, in sharon diyoy v'samonim v'charshinan, el k'day sh'yishoyim b'oidyoyim. According to B'shamay, one's not allowed to begin soaking ingredients to make ink or dye, or soaking beans to turn them into animal food, unless they will be fully soaked by the time Shabbos begins. Because the B'shamay hold, Shvisis kelim d'oraisa. Even one's kelim, tools and utensils must rest on Shabbos and should not be doing any malachas on Shabbos. For the same reason, you can't bleach flax in an oven or put wool in the vat to become dyed or put out traps to catch animals if the process won't be done before Shabbos. Because each of these are a malacha d'oraisa which are forbidden to be done by one's kelim on Shabbos. The Mishnah continues. Ein meichrin l'nachi, ela k'dei shi'igi l'makom karav. One may not sell anything to a non-Jew or help him load his animal unless he will remove it from your property before Shabbos, because otherwise it will look like he's working for you on Shabbos, which is forbidden. So too, you may not give animal skins to a tanner or clothing to a launderer unless there's enough time for them to finish working for you before Shabbos starts. In all of the above cases, the Beis Hillel matirin im hashemesh. The Beis Hillel allow it as long as the person's actions were done before sunset, because the Beis Hillel do not hold the Isra of Shvisis Kalim. There is, however, one case where they both agree. V'shavin elu v'elu. They both agree that you can put heavy beams on top of crushed olives or grapes to make the juice come out quicker before Shabbos starts, even though not all the juice will be out before Shabbos. The Gemara on the next daf will explain why the B'shamai permit this.